It is Palm Sunday, so our gospel lesson for the morning comes from Matthew's account of that event. It is found in the 21st chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. I'll be reading the first 11 verses, invite you to follow along and listen for the word of God. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The roads that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Once upon a time, God needed a donkey. Sounds like the beginning of a fairy tale or an ancient fable, doesn't it? Once upon a time, God needed a donkey. God needs. As Claire Keene blogs, neediness isn't something I tend to associate with the Almighty. No, neediness is fishing for that compliment you crave from everybody at the party. Not particularly God-like. And yet, 2,000 years ago, Jesus sent his followers to fetch him a young donkey so he could ride into Jerusalem. And if anyone should question him, them taking this colt that wasn't rightly theirs to take, they were to say, "The Lord needs it." Once upon a time, God needed a donkey. Hold on to that thought, for we'll come back to it momentarily. Back in February, our Westminster choir traveled to New Orleans on tour, and they were there pretty much during Mardi Gras. You know, that celebration of excess before Ash Wednesday and Lent. And what a celebration it is. The parades, the people, the food, the excitement, the drink, the strange things you see, truly unique in the world. In theory, at least, the excess, the singing, the dancing, the eating, the drinking, serves as a release before the period of silence which follows Lent, when there are supposedly no hosannas, when there is fasting, self-denial, and repentance. Today is Palm Sunday, and like Mardi Gras before Lent, Palm Sunday stands on the cusp of another period of darkness, Holy Week. As Jesus enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, today we enter Holy Week, that harrowing, heartbreaking week, which for Christians transcends history. It's like Palm Sunday, you're on a roller coaster and you're kind of at the top of the roller coaster. And we hesitate there before slowly moving forward, gaining speed, plunging down into the darkness of the arrest, the trial, the crucifixion, Good Friday? Before climbing back up, reaching an even higher peak, Easter Sunday. The events of the coming week are so disturbing, so raw in their depiction of human nature, that it seems almost inappropriate, out of place, to celebrate today. How can we celebrate at a time like this? How can we shout hosannas with the knowledge of the events of the coming week? Today, shouldn't we really be singing, "O sacred head now wounded, with sin and grief weighed down"? The human race has an incredible capacity to rise above tragedy and the vicarious nature of existence, to live our lives with joy, hope, and purpose. We see it time and time again, how out of the travails of calamity comes the triumph of the human spirit. And most of us here, if we have lived long enough, have experienced these travails. Many of us carry with us scars, a sad, lonely, or deprived childhood, a lost relationship, an unfulfilled dream, the untimely death of a loved one, a tragic injury leaving a loved one incapacitated, an insidious illness robbing a loved one of health and wholeness. We all carry with us experiences which, if not bringing us to the point of despair, at the least leave an ache in our hearts, a yearning in the pits of our stomachs. And so we come week after week, seeking hope and meaning, hoping that we can move beyond the pain and despair to live productive and purposeful lives. We are here because we want to feel joy. We want our lives to mean something. There are many known to you whose lives stand as a testimony to the power of God to be with them in the darkness, enabling them to emerge on the other side, scarred, yes, but able to live with hope, joy, meaning, and purpose. They are the witnesses that today, as we sing and dance before the darkness, so God in Christ offers the power also to sing and dance beyond the darkness. Rebecca Chopp, Chancellor of the University of Denver, notes, "On Palm Sunday, a window opens, quickly and briefly, for us to see something higher, better, and more beautiful than the troubled ways of this world. A window through which we see God as one who rides with us into a new city where there is neither temple nor tear, suffering nor despair." The Palm Sunday story tells us that amidst struggle, anguish, denial, and forgetfulness, we have a wild and soaring anticipation, a vision of a new way, a glimpse of a new world. You see, friends, the window Palm Sunday opens empowers us. We need Palm Sunday because the road to Jerusalem is a lonely one, a heartbreaking one, and it reveals more about ourselves than we care to know. In a world of doubt and confusion, of injustice and despair, we need Palm Sunday to give space to our longings, to let our imaginations run wild, to let our desires come to new words. And so, friends, we wave palm branches and sing songs of joy. Hosanna is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And yet, this Jesus, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the one we call God, needs a donkey. And he needs someone to give him a donkey. Once upon a time, God needed a donkey. Wait a minute. Jesus, the God made flesh, needs a colt? Can't he just walk into Jerusalem? Wait a minute. Jesus needs that donkey, but at his word, couldn't angel-flown chariots appear? But there it is. We can't escape it. Jesus needs someone to supply something in order to fulfill his mission. The Lord needs it. So I invite you, here on the cusp of this dark Holy Week, to ask yourself the question, what does the Lord need of me? What does the Lord need of you, of me, of this congregation, in order to fulfill his mission? What does the Lord need of you? Maybe it's your gift of working with children. Maybe it's your empathy for those who suffer. Maybe it's your ability to inspire. What does the Lord need of you? Prayerful devotion? More attention to your family? You've often heard it said that we are the Lord's hands and feet, that the Lord's work is done only through our efforts. Hear that truth slaps us in the face. The Lord needs you and me in order to fulfill his mission, just as he needed the colt's owners. Do you really need me, Lord? You know I'm busy. Do you really need me, Lord? You know I'm tired. Do you really need me, Lord? You know I don't know what to say. Do you really need me, Lord? Can't somebody else do it? Apparently not. Yours is a mission you alone can fill, whether it be to build or teach or till. Your goal may still be hidden from view, but somewhere God has urgent need of you. Nope, we can't escape it. It's right before our faces, right there in the Gospels. The Lord needs a donkey. And indeed, and this is where it really gets crazy, God has chosen to need the donkey. Why would God do that? Why would God do that? Why would God choose to need us? It's not that Jesus was unable to get Jerusalem without that particular donkey to ride. And it's surely not impossible for God to bless others without our help. Indeed, God's redemptive work in the world is unstoppable whether we decide to cooperate with him or not. So why would God do that? Why would God choose to need us? Doesn't the Bible say somewhere, if we love one another, God lives in us? Yeah, it's right there in 1 John. If we love one another, if we are the hands and feet of Christ to the other, God lives in us. That must be it. That must be why God chose to need us. The miracle and the gospel, you see, is not that God needs us, but that God chooses to need us. For you see, when God does this, it's not just others who are blessed. We are blessed. We are changed because God chooses to need us. And lo and behold, God lives in us. And his redemptive work in the world goes hurtling forward, carrying us along with it. Once upon a time, God needed a man to mentor an at-risk youth. And they both were blessed. Say that with me. And they both were blessed. Once upon a time, God needed a woman to start a business to help other women become more employable. And they both were blessed. Once upon a time, God needed a father to teach his daughter how to ride a bike. And they both were blessed. Once upon a time, God needed a mother to tutor another mother's child. And they both were blessed. Once upon a time, God needed a young person to answer the call to the ministry. And they both were blessed. Once upon a time, God needed a church to help settle a refugee, and they both were blessed. God is looking for ordinary people for extraordinary work. Once upon a time, God needed a donkey. Let us pray. Oh God, what a marvel it is that you, in your wisdom, have chosen to need us. And you have done so because you love us. And you know that as we love others, as we are the hands and feet of Christ, as we seek to be a blessing to others, so we too are blessed. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.